deep rifts are tearing apart the fabric of our societies. They're bringing new anxieties and new anger to our people and new passions to our politics. The social bases of these anxieties are geographic, educational, and moral. It's the regions rebelling against the metropolis, Northern England versus London, the heartlands versus the coasts. It's the less educated rebelling against the more educated. It's the struggling workers rebelling against the scroungers and rent seekers. The less educated, toiling provincial has replaced the working class as the revolutionary force in society. The sans-culottes replaced by the sans-cool. So what are these people angry about? Place has become a dimension of the new grievances. After a long period during which geographic economic inequalities narrowed, recently they've been widening rapidly. Across North America, Europe, and Japan, metropolitan areas are surging ahead of the rest of the nation. Not only are they becoming much richer than the provinces, socially they're becoming detached and no longer representative of the nation of which they are often the capital. But even within the dynamic metropolis, these extraordinary economic gains are heavily skewed. The newly successful are neither capitalists nor ordinary workers. They are the well-educated with new skills. They have forged themselves into a new class, meeting at university and developing a new shared identity in which esteem comes from skill. They've even developed a distinctive morality, elevating characteristics such as minority ethnicity and sexual orientation into group identities as victims. On the basis of their distinctive concern for victim groups, they claim moral superiority over the less well-educated. Having forged themselves into a new ruling class, the well-educated trust both government and each other more than ever. While the fortunes of the educated have soared, pulling up national averages with them, the less well-educated, both in the metropolis and nationally, are now in crisis, stigmatized as the white working class. The syndrome of decline began with the loss of meaningful jobs. Globalization has shifted many semi-skilled jobs to Asia, and technological change is eliminating many others. The loss of jobs has hit two age groups particularly hard, older workers and those trying to find their first job. Among older workers, job loss often led to family breakdown, drugs, alcohol, and violence. In America, the resulting collapse in the sense of a purposeful life is manifested in falling life expectancy for whites who have not been to college. This at a time when the unprecedented pace of medical advances is delivering rapidly rising life expectancy for more favored groups. In Europe, social safety nets have muted the extremity of outcomes, but the syndrome is also widespread, and in the most broken cities, such as Blackpool, life expectancy is also falling. Redundant over 50s are drinking the dregs of despair. Yet the less educated young have fared little better. In much of Europe, young people face mass unemployment. Currently, a third of young Italians are unemployed, a scale of job shortage last seen in the Depression of the 1930s. Surveys show an unprecedented level of youthful pessimism. Most young people expect to have lower living standards than their parents. Nor is this a delusion. During the past four decades, the economic performance of capitalism has deteriorated. The global financial crisis of 2008-09 made it manifest, but from the 1980s, this pessimism has been slowly growing. Capitalism's core credential of steadily rising living standards for all has been tarnished. It has continued to deliver for some, but has passed others by. In America, the emblematic heart of capitalism, half of the 1980s generation are absolutely worse off than the generation of their parents at the same age. For them, capitalism is not working.